In Luke chapter 12, this is the section starting in verse 22 where Jesus said to the disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than what you eat. The body is more important, more valuable than what you're putting on." And then he goes on through this, and we've looked at this. We've been talking about the kingdom of God, living in the kingdom, operating in the kingdom. How do we do that? So he goes back and says in verse 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I tell you, after Sunday morning, after reading John chapter 17, and right in the middle of that, where Jesus said, Father, you know, he starts out with Father, and then he comes on down and he says, "I have revealed your name unto them." And that name is the name Father. When he said the Lord's Prayer to teach the disciples how to pray, he said, "Say this, our Father, which art in heaven." He was giving them a concept of God is more than God. God is a Father. And so I've started reading the scriptures and reading what Jesus said with an eye towards Father. And you see that he used it all the time. Now, you could say, well, of course, God was his Father. But he said, "I've revealed your name unto them." And so the Bible says that the Spirit on the inside of us bears witness that he is our Father. And we cry, Abba, Father. And so we are the children of God. We are the sons and we are the daughters of God. So I think that it's very interesting when he says things like, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He said, "It is your Father's, not my Father's." I just want to make sure I had that right. He said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And like I said, Sunday morning, when you are praying, do you pray to God? Do you talk about God? Or do you, you know, like, a lot of people, when they pray, "Lord God, dear Lord God, dear Lord." And so their focus is on Lord God, and they don't really talk to him as Father. And so that just means that their concept is a little disconnected from what God really wants to do in their lives. Again, just repeating what I said Sunday, Jesus said, "I pray, Father, that you keep them." He said, "I pray that you keep them through your name." And that word "keep" means to watch over, to protect, to guard through your name. He said, "I have kept them in your name. I've guarded them in your name. I've protected them. I've watched over them in your name." What name was that? It was the name Father. It wasn't that they kept them in the name Jehovah or kept them in the name Jehovah Rapha and all of that. It was simply Father. Now, Jesus said here, he said, "It is the Father's, your Father's, good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And so we looked at last time concerning the kingdom, we looked at how Jesus operated in the kingdom, how he fed the 5,000, what he did. He went to the kingdom first. His mindset was kingdom-minded. Now, I have to give you a testimony. I mean, because when you heard me share that with the 5,000, you know, Jesus, let me just rephrase it because repeat it because I want to make sure you get it, particularly for you that may not have been here, because when I said it is when I got it. It wasn't anything that I studied. I saw it when you guys heard it. And, it has revolutionized the way that I'm thinking about things. 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people. Essentially, they came to Jesus and said, "Look, you need to send them away. They need to eat." And Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "Do you want us to go buy $20,000 worth of food?" They said, "That wouldn't even be enough to cover the crowd." And so that tells me a couple of things. It tells me, number one, they didn't say we don't have enough money to cover it. They said, I mean, you know, if you're carrying $20,000 around with you, you're doing okay. Okay. And so if somebody is telling us and John chapter 6, that version of it, it says when Philip came to him and said 200 penny worth or $20,000 worth of food, basically Jesus said this to him. It said to see what Philip would do because he knew what he was going to do. See, he wanted to see where was his first inclination. Where did he look to first to meet the need? And so what Philip said is, well, $20,000 isn't enough to handle all of this. And so that tells us that the disciples, the first place they looked when Jesus said to do something was how much money? Do we have enough money to do it? They never thought about going to the Father first. They never thought about doing that first. And so, but Jesus said, what do you have? He had already received instruction from the Holy Ghost on exactly what to do. Jesus wasn't going to the treasury because God may wanted to use that money to give or to do something else with. So he just went to his Heavenly Father. He sought the kingdom first. Have the need supplied out of the kingdom, not out of your bank account. Have, always go there first. It doesn't matter whether you have enough money or not in the bank account. You have got to get into a habit of always going to the kingdom first. Always going to the Father first. Always getting direction. Why is that? Remember in John chapter 17 where Jesus said the disciples, he said, talking about the disciples, he said, Father, the men that you gave me, I have kept. They were yours to give, and they are your, and they are thine. And so what Jesus recognized that everything that he had, he received from the Father. It wasn't that what he got on his own. It was that it that belonged to God, and God gave it to him to be a steward over. I was sharing with somebody today that something that, that the Lord had talked to me about, the you know, the parable of the talents where there was a king. He was leaving. And so he gave to his servants different amounts of money. To one, he gave five. To another, he gave two. To another, he gave one. Each according to their ability. And so when he came back, the one with the five, the one with the two, they doubled what it was that the king had given them. But the one with the one, he was afraid of losing it. So he went and buried it. He didn't increase it. He just buried it and said, look, what you have, I didn't lose anything. I'm giving it back to you. And that king said, thou wicked and slothful servant. The king was not impressed with the fact that the guy did not lose the money. The king was upset that there was no increase. And what the Lord told me is that, Mark, I've given you your marriage. I've given you your children. I've given you your son. Not to just hope that everything turns out okay. Not just for your enjoyment. I have given them to you for you to make better. See, my marriage should be on the increase. And if it's not on the increase, if I'm not doing what's necessary for it to be on the increase, then that probably puts me into the category of a wicked and slothful servant in that area. If I'm just hoping that my children turn out okay and just praying and expecting God to do it when I'm not putting into them the things that I'm supposed to put into them and make them better. See, I'm supposed to do what God has called me to do to make them better and to impart the truths of the Word of God into them. And if I'm doing that, then they're going to increase and they're going to get better. So I've got to recognize that the things that I have, they were God's to begin with, and He has given to them to me for a purpose, to do something with, and to make sure that I'm obeying His voice. I got to be cautious about that. Okay, so Jesus recognized that everything that he had to do according to what God told him to do in it. He lived out of the kingdom all the time. Now, What was really exciting is that since I taught that message, there's a number of things that's been kind of going on with business and all kinds of things. It's exciting to run a business and to watch what God's doing in the church and there's just other business opportunities that's coming my way and those kinds of things. But in the process of all of this with Brooke's wedding and everything, things in the natural had gotten tighter for us than we have experienced in years and years. You know, Jennifer's not used to calling me and saying, now exactly how much can I spend at the grocery store? And I'd say, you know what, get what you need, but $50, you know, or something like that. There's some time, there's some work that we've done that I've been trying to find the time and trying to get around to invoicing our customers. Because I knew as soon as I could get that invoice and get that money rolling in, then Jennifer would be able to go and, you know, shop the way that, you know, she usually does for us. But it seemed like something was always coming up. I couldn't ever get it done. You know, something, I don't know what it was. It was the devil as far as I'm concerned. Okay. And so last week, after I taught that message, there was a moment on Thursday, and I'm even doing it with whatever comes into the ministry. You know, as soon as I made the first deposit after teaching that message, the first thing I did is I started praying in the spirit. And I said, Lord, what do you want us to do with this? We've got some bills and things like that, but how do you want me to do this? You know, how do you want me to handle what's come in? And he gave me exactly the instruction of what to do. Hallelujah. And just hearing that, it's like, wow, you mean I could have been doing this all along? And so anyway, that Thursday, there was a moment where Jennifer and Seth and Olivia, they left to come here and clean the church. And my phone stopped ringing and there was a piece and I started working on the invoicing. And in 3 hours, I got it all done. Now, I've been trying to get this done for well over a month. And tried a little bit here, a little bit there, and it just wasn't getting done. But now I'm obeying the Holy Spirit, and I'm living out of the kingdom, and so he's making sure that what needs to be done is getting done. Hallelujah. And so then the next day, I get a call. This is Friday, just this past Friday. Thank you, Jesus. I get a call from my customer that's in New Jersey. Now, the customer that's in New Jersey, they have a location that's here in Irondale that me and the guy that works for me, we do all their computer work. We do all their networking. We take care of all of that for them. The executive director of the location down here resigned on Monday. So it's kind of put them into kind of a little tailspin, if you will. Well, they, as far as I know, since the time that they opened 6 or 7 years ago, have not been profitable. There has been problems after problems after problems in this location down here. None of them have to do with us, but, you know, it's just been the way it is. She calls me on Friday, and she said, Mark, she said, I know that you and Mark, the guy that works for you, understand a lot more about business than just computers. She said, what we would like to do is pay you to go through our business and figure out how to retool the entire business to make it profitable. And so we want you to be business consultants for us. So we started talking about that. They're going to give us complete freedom to do that. Over the next 3 months or so, it will easily turn into at least $9,000 to $10,000 worth of work that I was not expecting, had no way of making that happen. It just happened. Hallelujah. Not only that, but it is allowing us to venture into another area of business that we're not. I didn't go to her and say, look, we're experts in business consulting. You know, that wasn't something that we have been pursuing. That's not something that has been, you know, part of our business. The Lord just laid a whole new area into our hands. And then when we get them profitable and change their procedures, now we'll have something to go to another business and said, we can do business consulting. And this is what we did for them. So it's not just the $9,000 or $10,000 over the next 3 months. Oh, no, it's much more than that down the road. This is kingdom living. I couldn't have done that by myself if I had tried. It's the favor of God. Hallelujah. All of this after I preached just the last message on living out of the kingdom. So whether you get anything out of it or not, I'm staying right here, okay? I'm going to keep going because this stuff works. Amen. Because it's God's good pleasure. Not God's. It's your Father's good pleasure. I got to renew my mind to that. I got to renew my mind to just talking about my Father. In other words, when we do worship nights, it's not moments with God. It's moments with our Father. Come on. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 12 is the Father's good pleasure. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And by the way, we started that work this week. It's already happening. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 17. Now, we looked at this a little bit last time. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. I'll talk about that in a second. But what this tribute was just simply what's called a temple tax. It was a tax that was to help, furnish the synagogues and the temple, and it was something that was required under the law of the Old Testament. It wasn't a whole lot of money, but it was just something that they had to do. Now, Jesus could have gone to his treasury and could have gotten the money out of the treasury to take care of this tax. But we already know that Jesus always went to the kingdom first. Right? So this is what he told Peter. He said, notwithstanding lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, you'll find here that piece of money was exactly the amount that they needed, okay? The temple tax was half a shekel, and the coin that they got ended up being a shekel, so it was exactly enough that they needed. See, Jesus wasn't concerned about how much money he had in the bank. Because why are you concerned about what's in the bank when the Father's already given you the kingdom? The kingdom's a whole lot more than what's in the bank. See? So, he was just living out of the kingdom. Now, how did he know? And this is what I want to get into tonight for a few minutes. How did he know to tell Peter to go get the gold coin out of the fish's mouth? Was Jesus just sitting there saying, now what would be a cool miracle? How can I really just blow Peter's mind here for just a moment? You know, was he trying to come up with something? Mm-mm. Turn with me over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 47. He says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Isn't that nice to know that Jesus didn't come to condemn us? He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus was so controlled by his relationship with the Father and so lived in the kingdom that he would not allow words to leave his mouth unless the Father told him to say it. That's how much he was dependent upon the Father. Now, he said in another place, he said, the works that I do, I don't do of myself. It is the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. Turn with me over to chapter 14. In chapter 14, he said, verse 10, believe thou not that I am in, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. The words that I speak, I don't speak of myself. Now, let's go back to Peter's situation with the temple tax. First of all, to live fully in the kingdom, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. While we're here in John 14, let's look at this. He says, verse 16, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Now, what does the Spirit of truth do? Well, verse 26 says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall what? Teach you all things. Now, there is a function, a job description of the Holy Spirit. He shall teach you all things. He shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he'll teach you all things. He's also going to bring to your remembrance the things that Jesus has said to you. The Word of God. That's why it's important that we meditate in the Word of God, so that there will be something there for him to bring to our remembrance. There is another scripture, I'm just looking for it here, but it says that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. I don't know exactly where that is. Let's see here. Let's see. Chapter 16, verse 13. Actually, let's go to chapter 15, verse 26. I just want you to see these other scriptures about the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, chapter 15, verse 26, I will send unto you the Father, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So there's another function that the Holy Spirit is to testify of Jesus Christ. He's going to point you back to Jesus Christ. Okay? And then go on down to chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, direct you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Oh, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit now is not going to speak of his own will, of his own mind. He's actually a lot like Jesus. He speaks from what he hears. He said, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Well, where is he hearing it from? The Father. So the Holy Spirit hears from the Father what you need. And that's what he's going to speak to you. And he's going to guide you into all truth. And it says, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit will show you something that's coming down the road. That's why I emphasize the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that's going to do all of this for you. Now, this is what Jesus walked in, okay? We know that when he was 30 years old, he went to John the Baptist. And we know Jesus was perfect and all of that. He already had an understanding of who his Father was. But he did not enter into ministry until he received the Holy Spirit coming into his life. As he came up out of the water, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Now, Acts 10, 38, I've just got to lay this foundation for a moment. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, so that you see this. In Acts 10, 38, how God anointed. What does anointing mean? It means to smear on, to paint on. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. When did that happen? When he went to be baptized by John the Baptist. That's when it happened. How he anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who then went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, going back to Matthew 17, you don't have to turn there, but this gives us some insight. What we just read gives us some insight into how Jesus operated and how he lived his life, how he learned and lived out of the kingdom. It says in Matthew 17, when Peter came in, verse 25, when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him saying, Simon, what are you thinking? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? What this tells me is Peter was coming to ask this question. Jesus already knew the question that was about to be asked. How did Jesus already know? Well, traditionally, people would tell you that Jesus was God. And since God knows everything, that's the reason why Jesus knew it. And that he instinctively knew everything that was going on. But I can show you from scripture that that's not the case. Remember in Mark chapter 5, as he's going to Jairus' house and the crowds touching him and pushing on him, there was a woman with an issue of blood that came through and pushed her way through, and she touched his garment because she had said, if I may but touch the hem of, or touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And the Bible says that when she touched it, power, virtue went out of Jesus and healed him, and he stopped in his tracks and he said, who touched me? And he looked around. You know, the disciples were like, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you. In another version of that, I think Luke or whatever, it says, I know somebody's touched me because I felt power go out of me. He stopped because he was surprised. And then he didn't know who it was. So he waited till he find out who it was. So Jesus didn't know about what Peter was thinking just because he was God. He knew about what Peter was thinking because of some other, through some other way. In that way was the Holy Spirit. See, he so lived with the Father and so lived with the Holy Spirit operating in his life that the Holy Spirit showed him things to come, guided him into all truth, and said, hey, this is what just happened with Peter. Now, see, you say, well, that's Jesus. Is that possible for us to walk in today? Well, I can tell you, I didn't look this up. The Lord has me going like a completely different direction than I had any plans on. So I'm just being led by the Holy Spirit. But let Paul. Have you ever heard the phrase, I am with you in spirit? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that to somebody? Well, I can't make it tonight, but just know that I'm with you there in spirit. That's our little, it's kind of our little phrase, kind of make them all feel better and, you know, because you can't make it. So I'm with you in spirit, which is a lie. You're not there with them in spirit. We just say that. Well, Paul said that. Well, give me a second to look this up. So the question is, was Paul saying this? Let's see here. Was Paul saying it just because that was a cute phrase to say? Let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's talking about Christ. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. He said, I'm telling you this so that nobody is going to deceive you with enticing words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now get a hold of what he just said. He wasn't saying I'm with you in spirit because that's a really nice thing to say. He was being very specific about what he was doing. He said, even though I'm absent in the flesh, he said, I am there in the spirit and I see stuff. The word behold means I see something. He says, I see stuff. I'm watching your order. I'm joying and beholding your order. So I'm getting joy out of the things that I'm seeing. I'm seeing the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. How was he there in the spirit seeing these things? Well, he had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that was operating in Jesus, the same Holy Spirit was operating the same way in Paul. And so he knew stuff. He could see stuff. So that just shows that the gifts of the Spirit and the insight and the wisdom and the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit is available to me as a believer. It's not just limited to Jesus when he was on the earth. So now, having that foundation and knowing that's available, I can go back and I can now look at what Jesus did. And so, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, knew what had just happened with Peter. And so when he came in, Jesus said something. But why did he say what he said? Because the Father said, this is what you need to say. And so the Father told him what to say and gave him the instructions of what to do. That's why it's so important that we develop our ability to hear the voice of God in every situation. When they came to Jesus and they said, Lazarus, that guy that you love so much, your friend, he's about to die. Bible says that Jesus stayed there for 2 more days. Now see, all of us, if that had been us, if we had heard about that some good friend was on his deathbed at the hospital, the first thing that we're doing is we're running out the door, we're putting a coat on, we're getting in the car, and we're going to get down there as quick as we can. We react according to the things that we've heard from other people. Jesus responded according to what he heard from the Father. You got that? See, we have a tendency to react. Jesus responded. And so the Father says, wait. Don't be in a hurry. And so he waited. And he waited. Until the Father said, now it's time to go. And we're still talking about what happened as a result today. Now understand this. What's really neat about living out of the kingdom, there's a scripture that says, or Jesus was talking, and he says, so let your light shine before men, or so that men may see your good works and that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Not that they may glorify you. Not that they may talk about what a great person that you are. The whole point is for people, by seeing how you live, they will glorify your Father. Amen. See, I love using Seth as an example. So I just want to make sure he's paying attention a little bit. You there, son? See, Seth, you know, he is now old enough that he is going out, you know, and spending some time with his girlfriend at her church and different things like that. And so some of the discussions that we've had, I've had some of the same discussions with him that my father had with me. Now, I didn't listen a lot to my father on some of these things, but Seth better listen to me. And he goes something like this. Son, when you are out there with other people, you don't just represent yourself. You represent me. You represent me and your mother. And so if you do something stupid and make a wrong choice or a wrong decision, that reflects badly on us. So see, he's got to be aware, not so much of what he wants to do. He's got to be aware of the fact that what he does also reflects on us. And so what happens is when people see what a good boy he is and see that he's interested in the things of God and see that he's not like the rest of the kids and see that, you know, that he's a gentleman and that he doesn't behave rudely and all of that. I speak all of this by faith, by the way. No, when people see that, what do they say? Man, his parents raised him right. They start talking about his parents, not just about him. See? And you've done the same thing to other people. You're like, you've told your own kids, like, I wish you were more like him. Which basically says, I didn't do my job as a parent to get you that way. You know, but then you'll say, their parents did it right. And sometimes we have a tendency as parents to kind of compare ourselves to other parents and see what other kids have, you know, and how other parents have raised them and say, man, I just didn't do that good of a job, or I'm doing a better job, or that sort of thing. But the kids always point, when you look at how they live their life, always point you back to the parent. Well, so, our good works should always cause people to glorify our Father. We should be a reflection. We reflect the Father that lives in us, right? Now, so Jesus, I was talking about being in the Spirit. So he got instruction from the Father on what to do for Peter. Now, this is where I was going with that. God, the Father, will use a situation when you are listening to his voice. He's going to do more than just help you out with your situation. See, a lot of what happened here in the New Testament, the Father was able to use that as an example to teach Peter something, to create a life lesson, and that has generations later and thousands of years later still impacting the church today. All because Jesus lived out of the kingdom, did what the Father said, and it was recorded of what happened and the miracle that took place. So he'll use those things that he tells you to not only impact your life, but to impact the lives of others. That's the greatness of living out of the kingdom. The more you do it. I mean, just the fact that I could give you a testimony of the new business that came my way, that is something that is a result of living out of the kingdom. Now, you can't take that away from me. And it encourages you. And you see how the Father wants to work through us. Jesus could have had the thought when he heard the Father say, tell him to go fishing and to take a gold coin out of the first fish's mouth. Now, if we had heard that, a lot of us would say, that's one of the craziest thoughts that I've ever had. And we just pass that by. Like, I'm not going to tell somebody to do something like that. But see, Jesus had developed himself through time in prayer, through time in the Word, all of those things that he knew, the voice of his Father, that he spoke that word. Now, that word spoken, kind of bring this to a close. I think we'll pick up on this next week. But let me kind of give you a preview. The Bible says that in Genesis chapter 1, that the Holy Spirit, that the earth was without form and void, right? And it says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was just there, just hovering over this formless void of water that existed in the middle of space. And nothing happened. The Holy Spirit was there. God was there. Everybody was there. Creation, everybody, they showed up. They're watching the event. But nothing happened until God spoke. And when he spoke, something happened. Words were created, but the Holy Spirit was there to give power to the word. Now, when Jesus spoke the words of the Father and said, go, fish, get the gold coin, then guess what? The Holy Spirit was there working together with the word that was spoken to make sure that that fish was the first fish that showed up at the right time with the coin in his mouth at the right time. And all of that, the Holy Spirit was there to make sure that it all happened. Working together in the kingdom, watching what the Holy Spirit does, watching what God the Father does. When you take the time in every situation to hear what God has said and to speak his word in that situation, whatever his direction is for you to pay your bill, for you to help a family member, for you to whatever it is, that you have struggled with in life, if it's an addiction, whatever it is, if you'll hear the voice of God and you'll do what he says, you'll say what he says, and then you'll do what he says to do, the Holy Spirit is the power that is there to make sure that it gets accomplished. That's living out of the kingdom. So I just want to encourage you. Start looking as you read. Start looking at how Jesus referred to Father. Look at how he heard the voice of the Father, how he spoke what the Father said, and how he did what the Father told him to do. That is living out of the kingdom. But it takes a little effort on our part to change our thinking. Even for us that have been in the Word for 20 or 30 years, it still takes some effort on our part to change our concept of God into Father. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that we can call you Father. We thank you that we have the privilege of living out of the kingdom. We thank you that it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom, so I just receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray that we learn to hear your voice more clearly and clearly and clearly every day. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Holy Spirit, you're the one that guides us into all truth. Holy Spirit, you're the comforter. You show us things to come. So we receive that part of your character in our life. And we say that we are sensitive to your voice to do the things that the Father has told you to teach us. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.